Today is a very important day. It's the walleye opener. It's Mother's Day. And it's the 150th anniversary of the founding of the state of Minnesota. It's sesquicentennial day. I really think that that word, sesquicentennial, ought to be the benchmark for all elementary school spelling bees during this year. But the reason we're gathered is that it is the Feast of Pentecost. It is the Feast of the Church. It is the birthday of the Church. That in that moment called Pentecost, the community was born. Was born by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, I would suggest that it might be appropriate today for us to look at the church and look at the mission that you and I as believing people have and how we might engage more deeply in that mission. We heard in the first reading that when that band of disciples burst forth from that upper room, filled with the Holy Spirit, they walked into the midst of a world that was far from what they had ever experienced before. These were Galilean Jews who were deeply rooted in a particular culture, a particular way of living, a particular value system, a particular history. And we're told that they burst forth on the streets of Jerusalem and they were surrounded by people. People who came from Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, people who were Greeks and who were Romans, people from Cappadocia, people from the Arab areas, people from the known world of the time. And every person heard in their own language, in their own frame of reference, in their own way of understanding, the powerful works of God. So from the very beginning, the church was thrust into a society, a culture, that was very diverse and very different from itself, and had to find ways to speak in words, in ways, in concepts, in constructs, in symbols, that would be able to be heard by an audience. Okay, if we're going to talk about our church, we need to talk about the world in which we live. This world is sometimes known as the postmodern world. If you're 60 years of age or younger, you have lived your whole life in the postmodern world. If you're over 60, you lived a portion of your life in the modern world. The postmodern world dates from the end of the Second World War and really caused by the Second World War. The experience in Europe was so devastating that everything that people believed, everything they trusted on, everything they held to be secure, absolutely everything that they believed was unchangeable, all of that exploded. All of that exploded. And with that, a revolution occurred. The beginning of the postmodern era. It began initially in the 40s in architecture, and then in the 50s, in art, in literature, and then by the mid-60s it was full-blown, and it really grabbed almost every element of Western society. There were some suppositions that were present before the postmodern era. And those suppositions were that truth and values were more important than feelings. The intelligence, the mind, the ability to know, was more important than the will, the ability to love. The spiritual was more important than the material. Unity was a greater value than pluralism. Those were values that Western world assumed and lived off of. The postmodern world is a world in which sensitivity, emotion, and the present moment come first. Human existence is a place in which one finds freedom, and freedom with few of any barriers. It is the place where individuals, families, neighborhoods, communities, nations seek to achieve their self-interest at all cost. It's a world in which there is a revolt against an excessive estimation of reason. Most people alive in Western world today do not believe that there are criteria by which one can verify truth and authenticity. That's the world. Now, I'm not here to talk pro or con on that. That's just the fact. That's the postmodern world. All right, how does the gospel of Jesus Christ get spoken in a way in which men and women of the postmodern world can hear it? That's the challenge. That's the challenge from the first day of the birth of the church. How does the Word of God get spoken in a way so it can be heard? Well, I'm going to suggest that there are at least four qualities that will help that happen. And I'm going to suggest there are four qualities that this local church, this congregation, can embrace. The first, we must never be afraid of diversity. We must never be afraid to enter into a conversation with men and women who differ from us. We must never be afraid to hear words that are different from our words. We must never hide ourselves from the diversity that surrounds us. We must hear, we must listen, and we must speak. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, tells the Christians that they are to weigh everything. And what they find as true, they are to embrace. And what they find as evil, they are to shun. But in order to do this, they must hear everything. The second quality that I would suggest is the ability to take a risk. The postmodern world does not accept the fact that there are eternal truths. The word truth is not a word that men and women of the postmodern world embrace. But they do embrace the word beauty and the concept of beauty. Now, throughout history, as God has been described, God has been described as true, beautiful, and one. If the truth of God is hard to embrace, then perhaps the beauty of God becomes the entree for conversation. Thirdly, the postmodern world will accept nothing other than it can see and touch. And if the world is to accept the truth of the gospel, it must see that truth acted out dramatically. And the truth of the gospel is the overwhelming love of God for all creatures, especially those who are most marginal, most forgotten, most faceless, most nameless, most without power. If the church wishes to speak to the postmodern world, it must aggressively stand as Jesus stood in unity with those on the edge. For that becomes then the litmus test of truth. It's not because I say it, it's because I do it. It's not because we have a creed that we profess. It is because we have a life that we live. And the fourth way in which I believe the church can proclaim that good news to the postmodern world is that you and I need to steep ourselves deeply in the text of the Gospels. You and I need to read those words and read them again and again and again and again and a million bazillion times. We need to be nurtured and nourished daily on the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We need to hear the words of Jesus and find ourselves standing in the deeds of Jesus so that those words become our life and those deeds animate our spirit. And then one last thing. I would suggest that we need to look upon the world in which we live not as a problem to be solved, but as a mystery in which we find ourselves. And that means we leave room for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works better than we do, and the Holy Spirit sinks deeper into life than we can. So we seek not to stifle the Spirit in others. It is the Spirit who breathes life. And we seek to be sensitive to even the most subtle manifestation of the Spirit. And then it's possible. I think if a church lives that way, it's possible, as those early disciples did, to proclaim the power of God And people can hear that in their own language and in their own constructs. But more than hear it, they can feel it. In 1937, a Russian scientist and poet, Pavlev Florensky, he died a death of a martyr for his Christian faith. And among the things he wrote this: only through immediate experience is it possible for a person to perceive and to value the treasure of the gospel. Only through immediate experience. Well, perhaps the postmodern world, like no other world, offers the church the chance to provide that immediate experience that will catch the attention, seize the heart, and move the spirit of men and women of this age, so that they may perceive and value the treasure of the gospel. This morning we have the opportunity of welcoming, through the power of the Holy Spirit, three young people into the communion of faith through the sacrament of baptism. And I would ask that you join with me, for it is the outpouring of this Spirit of life, that occurs in these young people's lives today.